kitchen, Mother would say if she knew of my complaining. Then you won't be so at odds with the good word. I smiled at the imagined reprimand, but I would never give a reason to serve it. A fair amount of my life took place in my head, and I was content to keep it that way for now. I returned my attention to Mr. Robertson's sermon and tried to be attentive, but found my mind wandering around the vaulted chapel in its meticulous craftsmanship until the minister finally finished and took his seat, the full stop at the end of his paragraph. I had attended Greyfriars Kirk before. It was the parish kirk my friend William Clerk belonged to, and I had chosen to attend services here today specifically so I could more easily slip away afterward. The Calvinist Sabbath was a stern day of prayer and meditation in my home on George Street, but my parents would miss me less if they thought I was taking a bit more time getting home from a kirk further away. I needed some solitude, which is hard to find now that I was fully employed beneath the heavy roof of my father's office. I would be home in time for supper, sheep's head soup that had been simmering since yesterday so as to avoid too much work on the Lord's Day. I resisted tapping my foot during the final hymn, glad that the windows were set too high along the walls for me to see through them from where I sat. It was easier to avoid the seduction of the world awaiting me on the other side of the stained glass when I could not see it. I had planned to while away the autumn afternoon hiking the majestic Salisbury Craigs around Edinburgh and soaking up imperial sunshine, God's creations, if ever there were. But the weather had betrayed me. As the sermon had droned on, heavy clouds had darkened the interior of the chapel. Not that rain would dissuade me entirely, but it might keep my ramblings confined to the pedestrian parks and streets of Edinburgh instead of the mighty hills I loved to explore while my mind became lost in the most fantastic stories. One day I would try my hand at writing those stories. Father felt the pursuit of writing a foolish endeavor, but Mother encouraged me. She said if I had been born a few centuries before, I'd have been a bard, a reciter of stories, songs, and poetry that kept history alive. I did not see why I could not be a bard now, albeit a modern one. Instead of performing for royalty, I would put the stories on paper so everyone would know the tales of my forefathers and see heroes instead of barbarians. Finally, the benediction was offered, and the parishioners began to stir. "Shall you abridge your afternoon plans on account of the weather?" William asked. The steady patter of raindrops could be heard over the conversations within the kirk. "I shall simply enjoy my rambling all the more," I said confidently, "and let the rain wash away any regrets." Were I a better friend, I'd have invited William to join me, but I was selfish of my time, and I knew he preferred a fire, a book, and a kettle on Sunday afternoons. I was braced for his teasing retort when I saw her and forgot about sheep's head soup, hiking the parks, or anything at all. The girl in the green mantle replaced every thought that had sustained me so far that day. She was water, bread, and wine all in one. "Ugh," I said under my breath, then grabbed Clerk by the wrist. "Who is that?" He looked around, confused. "Who is who?" "That girl," I said, my eyes transfixed on the vision as I pointed with my chin. "With the green cloak?" Clerk followed my gaze and then smiled. "Her father is Sir John Belch's. He took a set of apartments off King's Stable for the Court of Session, and his family's come ahead of him." "Come ahead from where?" I asked, keeping my eyes locked on the girl. "An absolute angel." She exited into the aisle ahead of me, but turned to say something to the woman she was with. Her mother, I'd wager, allowing me to look at her profile. She had light brown hair, curled in ringlets, rosebud lips, and features as fine as if chiseled from porcelain. The dark lashes framing her hazel eyes gave her face definition and completed the impression of her being quite simply the most beautiful woman I had ever seen, though not likely more than 16 years to my 19. Perhaps because of the chill brought on by the bad weather, she had already fastened her green cloak at the base of her graceful neck. "Where is she from?" I asked. "Perth."